Good morning to everyone. This is a beautiful day, isn't it? Are you glad to be inside? Yes. Amen, amen. That's right. I really want to thank all those who are stepping up over the last few weeks and also in several weeks to come as well. I missed Marty, but I heard that was a great time from Purdue and given a challenge. And then, of course, Pastor Brian. And then Manuel was here last week. Wasn't that a great week? It's just good to see him and what God's doing. We need to continue to pray as God's directing him as to what he ought to be doing next. And I'm glad to be here. I suppose, I don't normally preach on July, but when all the pastors leave at the same time, I think they got together on that one. So anyway, I'd like to give an update on just a quick overview of what we did. So we're going to get to Steve and Rowena here in a second, but we were able to go, Dawn and I were able to go with our daughters on to England, and we're in London for a little bit. Then we went to Paris for about 24 hours and sprinted down to, at a very high rate of speed on one of those like bullet train things, to Fréjus, France, to see one of our missionaries that we've been supporting for many years, the Barnes, and then flew back to London to speed up to Cambridge University and check out what's going on at Cambridge University. I was interested in that as well, but also seeing a former youth that Dawn and I had in our youth group, I don't know, some probably over 30 years ago or longer possibly. Her and her husband, he actually teaches at Cambridge some and also works for one of, I think it's Tyndale Publishing House. And so it was good to see them and their family worshiping with them. I want you to know that before I get to France, God is doing a great work and his people are proclaiming the gospel of Christ in England. And it was fun. We had an interesting experience. I'm not used to walking over 2 miles to church and then 2 miles back, but that's what you do. We didn't have a car. I didn't want to get a cab. There was no train that ran from where we were staying and to the church. So like we did every day, pretty much between 6 and 10 miles walking everywhere, we just said, we're walking to church. And it was raining a little bit, and we didn't care. It was so much fun, and then it was a great, great service, and just blessing the Lord. So then we wanted also while we were over there to see some of our missionaries. We would have seen more, but the other two had previous plans and one of them wasn't even going to be there. So we were unable to connect with them, but we were able to get with Steve and Rowena Barnes, and they are in Fréjus, France. And so I wanted to kind of let you know, and the two folks, Rowena, I think if I hit this advance, you might hear Rowena. Let's see. Well, she is talking. Anyway, that's okay. There she is. You guys getting all that? All right, so where is Fréjus? Great question. Approximately 4,872 miles, give or take 4,872 miles. But that's approximately the best I can figure out how far it is from Kokomo. We went from Kokomo to New York to London to Paris down to Fréjus. Fréjus is located in a beautiful part, the southeastern part of France, right on the Mediterranean Sea. It is quite the sight. In fact, here's a picture of one of the nearby places. Maybe you've heard of it, Monaco? Yeah, we were able to go there. It was real close, and so he took us over there, and seeing all the, I would just call it the money. There's so much. The houses there, the yachts that were there, the buildings that were built there. It's just a lot of money. And I didn't know this. Maybe you probably guys paid attention in history class. I didn't know this, or I was told and didn't remember. Monaco is its own country. Anybody knew that? Well, I wasn't listening. All right. So I learned something, and wow, that was interesting. There was just so many cool things to see. These are actually my photos. Woohoo! I don't remember what that castle is, but I know he told me. what it was. It was something very important, I'm sure, blah, 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 right? So here we go. Here's another. Now, this is more of a kind of the scene around their house, not too far away. It's got lots of mountains, lots of green, lots of plants, and lots of, are you catching some of that? There's palm trees everywhere. And the weather was beautiful. But we were able to, he was so gracious to take us around. I'm sure, I know what it's like. Somebody's sweeping in. I got 15 things I got to do. He took 2 days out of his time to just walk us all over and drive us around and let us see. We got within, like from here to Speedway down there. Everything in Kokomo is where the Speedways are located, if you don't know me. So Speedway's down there to Italy, but we didn't actually cross the border there to Italy and turn around and come back. The traffic was kind of crazy in Monaco. But he was so gracious and was a great, great host. I want to show you his church here. You all can translate that, right? The only word I didn't know was probably the first word. That first word just means church. So it's the Baptist Church of Frejus. That's it. And it's kind of in an, I don't want to say industrial area, because when we say that, we think of a lot of buildings, but it was in a smaller scale industrial area where there are a lot of different types of businesses everywhere. It was just one of them in a line of them sitting there. And so I consider this one of their first ministries. Now, if you don't remember, he was here last year, I believe, and they were called from their church plant in Paris, which they had been there for a while around the Paris area, by the mission to come down. This church was in trouble. It was down to just, I'm talking a few people. And they asked them to if they wouldn't mind, to come down and rescue the church. And that's what they've been doing the last 10 years. And God has blessed them. 30, 40 people at least now are regularly coming, and they're seeing visitors showing up. This is the inside here. And we're also able to see and attend that Bible study that you heard Rowena speaking about. There were about, I want to say, 12 people possibly in attendance there, including Dawn and I, and then there were several online as well. So this is their Thursday night weekly Bible study that he does with those folks. So he's got the large group that comes on Sunday, and then he's got a little bit of smaller group that likes to be involved on Thursday when they can get there. But there's more to it as well. And it becomes at their house. This is the driveway in the back part. I just took a picture out. You can see the mountains and the palm trees in the background. And it's an enclosed kind of a compound thing. A lot of homes are that way. It wasn't just theirs. That's just kind of the way they do it. They enclose the homes like that. This is their side patio. And this is an awesome table here. This is kind of pictures their next thing. So much discipleship taking place here over fellowship meals or over coffee or a Danish or whatever it is. This is where a lot of ministry takes place. And just to give you an example, we heard a lot of stories just sitting down with them of what God's done over the years and years that they've been there. I don't know if you've ever felt this way. If you've worked at all in ministry, I bet you have, where you wonder if it made a difference in this person, or did it make a difference at all? What was I doing? And to hear the perspective of someone who stuck it out for long term, and the testimonies, this person came back to faith, this person turned their life around that they had walked away for a while, or this person is living for the Lord and now they're leading people to Christ. And we hear all these kinds of stories of what God is doing through their ministry over there, the faithful ministry. And so we were excited to hear for them. You can see the light in their eyes for all the people. They're going back years and years that they have known, and how they're walking with Christ. And so it's exciting to see how God is taking that fruit, and you guys, and we're all a part of that as we pray and support them with our finances as well. And here's a really cool story. That church in Paris that he was at for a while that was doing really well, they decided recently to go ahead and support them. So that's awesome. Now we're seeing local churches supporting other local churches. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be done? So, but it's taken a lifetime. And we need to be careful. This is just a side note, and this is free, by the way. Sometimes we judge ourselves too harshly and wrongly. We don't have a God perspective. We don't know. We must be faithful. And they're faithful. And for whatever reason, sometimes you see that faithfulness and it pops out and all this great growth. And other times you wonder, what in the world is going on here? God is in the business of building his church. And he's doing it through faithful servants like Steve and Rowena. And it was just a blessing to be there. Of course, I have to show you some food. So I don't know if you guys know this or not. You guys remember that movie that came out from Disney called Ratatouille? Is that right? Okay. I was really confused. That's what this is. This is Ratatouille. I thought it was the name of a rat. I thought Disney's just making a cute name. It's actually a meal, a dish. All right, so she says, I want to make you Ratatouille, and I kind of scratched my head. What are you talking about? Because all I knew was Disney's version, right? Disney tells everything true, right? Sorry, I got something in my throat. But yeah, so Ratatouille, it's some kind of a, I had to write it down, I'm sorry. Where is it at here? It's like a mix of vegetables, stewed vegetables, which took her all day to do. This isn't a meal you prepare in an hour. It's an all-day event. And then when that was all done, then she started the roasting and the grilling of the meats. I love that part. And so that's all thrown on top of the stew. And then with all of that, that's just the side thing because you got to eat their homemade bread. Oh, my goodness. I got a taste of what it's going to be at the Supper of the Lamb, man. Oh. That bread is so good. We had way too much of it. So it's good that we were walking a lot. And it's a little different. You know in America when we have a meal, right? It reminds me of the Lucy episode where she's serving four people and she puts the plates down real quick and serves the food. And by the time they just get one bite, she's coming back around and picking all the plates up. And those of you who know that episode know what I'm talking about. That's kind of how Americans are. Gotta get in. We gotta get... Not the way there. It seems like things are slowed down a little bit. Let's talk. Let's take our time. Maybe we can learn from that, right? But that's going to take a little bit. That's a little bit of a challenge for us to do. We have to make the time for that. It just isn't going to happen. So anyway, that was just another freebie. Lots of freebies so far. I want to tell you, though, that things are going well there in their ministry, but as you know, all ministers of the gospel have their prayers and praises and challenges, and they're human like you and me, and they were willing to share some of the challenges that are going on in their life. Amidst the praises, they have a heart for people that aren't walking with the Lord. Can you all give a witness to that? Some people you know, you have a heart for people that are close to you that aren't walking with the Lord, and it bothers them very much that that's the case. I'll just do it this way. This is an actual picture that I did not take. This is the only one I didn't take. I pulled this off the internet of Phrygis itself, a part of the city. So I wanted you to pray for the city of Phrygis, and that there's a lot of people there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so that's the obvious one. The church certainly is involved in reaching out in different ways into the city, so pray for those sorts of ministries as well. Rowena has specific requests of praying for the children's ministry. Even though the church has grown, they're not seeing as many young families that they like, and they don't have a lot of children, but they do have some. But the ones they do have, the challenge is, what are we going to, you know, what kind of curriculum should we use and all these sorts of things? How should we go about making it so the children want to come? Those, and she's doing a lot of this by herself. So maybe part of it is to have some partners in that. Jump on board. Some younger folks jumping in and coming alongside her and giving her that energy and those ideas and that help to continue with that children's ministry. Many of you may already know, some of you may not, but it is their son-in-law is Ryan Corbett. Do you know the name Ryan Corbett? Okay. Christian businessman who was over in Afghanistan. And in 2022, when the Taliban took over, he was caught. His family, they got out, but he went back to do some closing business or something. I don't know all the details. But they arrested him there, and he's been in prison ever since. And for a long time, they just let the Christian community know what was happening. And the Christians around the world have been praying for Ryan and their family. So, but most recently, in the last year, when they were getting reports of what was actually happening to Ryan, and that he was deteriorating quickly, that they got involved with the United States government. And the government now has been trying for at least a year to make connections with the people that the Taliban will actually work with. Now, you know this is all political. They're wanting something, of course, but he's caught. So there's a man with, I think there's three kids and, of course, the wife, at least three. A brother in Christ that's being held prisoner. So that's heavy on their heart, and I can imagine that would be. If you'd like, you can find more about him by going to www.freeryancorbett. That'll give you much more accurate information and up-to-date on what's happening there. I hope you'll remember him in your prayer. So those sort of things are going on there in their family. And I also wanted to say, you know, there's something that we can do. There's something that we can do. What can you say? What can I do? Well, you can pray. Thank you, I can pray. I think there's something else you all can do that I think would be very encouraging. If you would take on the challenge, I wouldn't mind it if all of you, take a moment and write them a note. Write them a note. It doesn't have to be long. If you want it to be long, fine, but it doesn't have to be. An encouraging note. Say, hey, we heard some of the fun and great and exciting things that are happening over there in France, but also we heard some of your prayer requests, and we just want you to know that today I'm thinking of you and praying for you, and I want you to know you're important to us. And if you don't receive their prayer letter, you can certainly get on and do that. So I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but I'm asking for a raise of hearts right now. Don't raise your hand. Raise your heart right now. Those who are willing to do that, say, yeah, I can take the time to do that. You can find the address, I believe, up on the board out there, but if not, you can come to the office, or you can just text me, and I'll send it back to you as well, how you can get a hold of them. And that would be very encouraging for them to get notes from back home, you can imagine. Pray for Ryan. So I want to take a moment here. I know that was really short, but I'm trying to tack on a bit of a message on the backside of this as well and get us out of here by 3. So, Father, we thank you that you are everywhere and in the business of hearing and answering our prayers according to your will. There have been people that have been crying out for Ryan Corbett for since 2022. And Lord, right now, we just call out Ryan's name. I don't know all the family members, but Father, we pray for them as well. We ask that you would free Ryan from this prison and allow him to be reunited with his family, Lord. I don't know all what's happening here as far as what you're doing and what you're going to do, but we know that you're good and it's going to be great. But Lord, I got to imagine the children are having, and of course the wife as well, are having such a difficult time, not able to talk very much, maybe a few times, but not able to see him for now up to 2 years almost. We pray, God, that you will intervene, make it happen. And Father, we pray that you'll encourage Steve and Rowena as they continue the ministry there, oftentimes wondering, is anyone hearing and praying? And yet, Lord, I know even from their own testimonies that they are encouraged from time to time from the folks that they have worked with and then friends around the world. Help us to be one of those friends. Help the church here to take on that blessed opportunity to encourage and lift up a brother and sister in the Lord. We pray that you would expand, Lord, their borders. We see this church grow in Frejus, that many will come to faith and there will be a revival there. And as so many visitors come in, hundreds of thousands each season into the Mediterranean areas and the beaches and everything else that's there. I pray that they would have an impact upon those visitors, and Lord, bring salvation to them. They could take it back to their own countries or their own places in France, and we could see this gospel grow. Lord, not for their glory or ours, but for yours and the spread of the kingdom of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead then and open them up to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. We don't have a lot of time, so this looks like it's going to be a two or three parter, but we're going to get through some of it today on working together. Now, this word conflict, I had put all this together long before what happened yesterday happened. I'm sure everybody knows by now the assassination attempt on Donald Trump and all that that's going on. When you think about conflict, no one here is arguing that we live in a world that's full of conflict at so many levels. If you go to the deepest level, we understand why there's conflict. We are at odds with God, and that creates conflict in itself. And in that mesh, there might be people that absolutely hate God, but they also hate each other. And that conflict goes on. Then you have people that say they love God, but then they have conflict with each other. There's just so many levels. We're going to get to that as well. So we have this conflict going on, and we think about this terrible tragedy yesterday. Someone lost their life. We know at least one that was killed and two more that were seriously injured. And God sovereignly, in fact, it was interesting, if you were watching some of the news last night, there was an Israeli terrorist guy that, I don't know his exact title, but he was being interviewed online and saying, and he said this on his own, and it was a, can I use the word liberal media station? That's most of them, right? But anyway, he said, it looked to me like God, for some reason. I don't know. I mean, that's an outsider. That's an outsider saying that. But it was interesting to see all the news reports and how they're analyzing it. And we just sense the tension. Do you feel it? And may I be honest now? There's probably a lot more tension going on that we see that we don't see. Or we don't understand, and it's there. We see it out in the world. We see it in our own churches as well. Biblical theology, practical theology. The practical part is huge, of course, how this word is played out. That's what we're going to look at today. But I wanted to frame it. I thought it would be very helpful. I'm really not rabbit trailing. I think this needs context about conflict. We've been in conflict since the Garden of Eden. Amen. Now you could read the history of the Bible and through the Old Testament and through the New Testament and find out, you know, right up to today what's going on. We know that the next greatest event is the rapture of the church. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them, where? In the clouds. So there is the rapture part of going up and meeting and being with the Lord forever and ever and ever. We look forward to that. Nothing has to take place for that event to happen. We're not waiting for something, well, you know, we have to have this line up and then we have to have the 10 nations and we have to, no, that's something else. Nothing. It can happen at any time, which is why this gospel is so important and you need to take it seriously. Is it possible that there are people that attend that are in the church, even members that are not believers in Jesus Christ? You better wake up. and the rest will be left here. Now, a lot of people talk about, and it's true, there's truth to it, that in the last days, there's going to be terrible times, right? Perilous times. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars. You'll be able to know what's happening because children will be disobedient to their parents. You see that happening more and more? The expansion is growing. And they're trying to connect that with the rapture of the church. I don't want you to do that. That's a mistake. The rapture can happen at any time. Things might even seem to be getting a little better, and the Lord could come at any time. That is true that things are not getting better in the sense that sin and its growth continues to go. But you need to understand as well, and remember, I think you do know this, that God is building his church. And despite as dark as it gets, that just makes the light all that more brighter. I want you to hold on to that. Man, this world's falling apart. Yeah, but God's a pretty good seamstress. He knows how to put it back together. And he does that one life at a time. So we have this. Then we have the second coming of Christ. Now, that verse in Matthew that I didn't quote exactly, has more to do with that particular thing where there's going to be an increase in wars, an increase in fighting, an increase because the man of lawlessness is just going to be let loose. Woo! He's going to go crazy. And the Holy Spirit, he will still intervene, but the church will be taken out. Wow. Now, I don't know. I don't know why I thought of this, but teaching for many years, you have a class of 20. Let's say you have 10 really bad kids and 10 really good kids. And oftentimes, in my experience, those 10 really good kids partnered up with you can really help keep the 10 bad ones, most of them, in line. Now, what happens if the 10 good kids leave? It's zoo time. Well, that's really what that's all about. As the church has been raptured, we understand that the witnesses will be unleashed. Israel's eyes will be opened. Man, I hope we can get a vision of seeing that. That's going to be amazing. Can you imagine 144,000 missionaries passionate about the gospel of Christ going around the world? It's going to be a great revival. But those wars, so those things are happening. But I want you to understand that it's all inside this mission of God. That's where it comes into our passage today. There is a mission that God, the book is part of a historical foundation to continue on what took place back in the garden. Now it's through this thing called the church, something the Old Testament prophets didn't really see clearly nor understand. But they knew that God was doing something and he was coming back. And so now this strange thing that's called the church is in, it's part of the mission of God. And as the people of God, it's important for us to understand and remember that we are in and part of that mission. This is huge because what's happening is that the church and the people of God, God's people now, can get distracted in life and forget. And you will not. You're part of this mission. So you can't really get everything you should and ought, and you probably misinterpret many passages if you don't know that we have a mission. Acts 6 is in the middle of that. There also includes our beliefs, our values, goals, priorities, our attitudes, and our actions. Why do I mention this? Because we get off mission when we allow conflict to deter us from that mission. We have allowed, as a church generally speaking, I'm not pointing a finger, I'll point at myself, we could allow conflicts and not deal with them properly to impact the mission of God. And I will say this without quoting a verse, the devil loves it. He does not care how it happens. If he can get the church to fight amongst themselves, he's happy. He doesn't care if it's carpet or if it's Christ. Just let them fight. Let them fight. Everything you and I do, every decision we make, including voting, is a spiritual decision. You spend money? That's a spiritual decision. What do you spend it on? What do you do with your time? That's a spiritual decision. What do you watch? What do you don't watch? That's a spiritual decision. What are you doing with your life? That's a spiritual decision. It is completely in the context of this mission of God, and that's how it must be evaluated. Woo, it's almost time to finish, and I'm almost done with the introduction. Let's go to the problem here. This is great. We can go quick. I'm just going to read through, follow along, hang on. It's a good thing you can always go back and listen to the sermon later. Let's look at the first two verses. We had a problem that's popped up here. Can you imagine a problem in a church? So a problem popped up. So let's go to it right away. I'm so glad the Bible records these things. Now, and beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Acts, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And when the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples, said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Well, let's stop right there. So that is basically what you have, is the problem is listed here. Now, I want to just, before we get on, I want to spend much time with the Hellenism and all that. That's just the idea of, let me explain who these people are. Greek-speaking Jews. How did they get there? Well, there were several ways. The biggest two ways was, one, they got there by force. So an example would be Nebuchadnezzar. He comes in, sweeps in, as a judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. What does he do? Woo, he takes them out. And they're all remained. They didn't all return when they had the chance. You can read that in the Old Testament. Not all of them returned. Many of them did not. We have that. We have some who probably moved and fleeing from Nebuchadnezzar, and they went away. Some of those got away. Then we have some who chose to go away for whatever reason. And so there's different reasons as to why they were spread out. But because they were spread out, they took on a whole new culture, whole new language, and so they're called the Hellenists, all right? That's pretty much it. That's an explanation here, but I really don't want you to have to reread all that, so let's move on. I do want you to understand, however, though, that this church is new and it's made up, it's a melting pot spiritually. That's supposed to be a melting pot. You've got Jews and Gentiles, but you've got now different kinds of Jews, just like you have different kinds of Gentiles and different kinds of cultures. It's not as easy as saying Gentile and Jew. Man, there are so many differences in Gentiles and all the nations of the world, their value system, how they view and how they act, how they respond, what they think about God. This is amazing. How? And the Word of God. It's the only way this melting pot will ever work. That's where the trouble can come in. And so when we think about this real quickly, we have a problem here of a complaint. Apparently, what's going on here is that there must be some kind of, there is neglect going on with the particular widows. Now, why is that? Why would they neglect widows? First of all, the widows were commanded, you read the Old Testament, they are to be taken care of, as are the homeless and everything else. There's a way to do that. But it wasn't happening. Why? Well, there's two options. Actually, I will take both of these. I'll just give you my answer up front. Prejudice, possibly. I don't know who you are. I know my own. I'll make sure this person's taking care of my neighbor down the street. Her husband died. We're going to take care of her and her kids. I don't even know who you are. You just came from, I don't know, Africa somewhere for the holiday season, and maybe you got another way. That's possible there's prejudice. The reason I say that's a strong possibility is because we struggle with being prejudiced today. This is the fact. And I'm not talking about black, white, Hispanic, whatever it is. I'm talking even in our own group. Situation because we're all children of Adam and Eve. But anyway, that aside, we don't need right? You're from the other side of town. You work who? Where? White collar, blue collar. You voted for who? I mean, we all kinds of things we could do. So that's why I think that's a possibility. But I really think the bigger one is simply this. You think about it. There was such growth in that church that happened so fast. This is just a problem. It was a natural thing. It wasn't an intentional thing. You think about it. When you got your firstborn, those of you who experienced that, and you had this beautiful baby. And, it was just wonderful, but yet now as they grow, it gets a little more complicated in raising them. And it gets even more complicated when you say, when they get older and they can talk and they can run and interact with them, it's going to be so much easier. So, sorry about that. That just came out. But that's what happened. You know, this church is growing, but it's growing. It's like having a newborn in August, but by the time December comes, the thing's 14 years old. Oh my goodness, 14 years old, you know, put them in a box, right, with duct tape around it. I'm just kidding, guys, sorry. We never would do that to you. But I'm just saying, this thing was growing, it was overwhelming. How could they have foreseen what God was going to do? And God could do amazing things. And I think what happened was simply they just... because they wanted to neglect. It just got too big. So there it is. And so now we have a second problem here, which really had to do with who's going to solve it. Now, I always get a little uncomfortable here, but I decided today I'm not going to be. I'm just not going to be uncomfortable about this. Don't be offended about some of the things I might say because I'm one of these guys in that yellow. So here we go. And it wasn't right that we should give up preaching for the Word of God to serve tables. Don't think for a minute that the pastors weren't serving. They were serving. They were serving, and they're serving in a variety of ways. But I think what's going on here? What's the real problem? I think the first thing is there's clarity involved. What are the responsibilities? This thing's getting out of hand. We went from like... maybe 50, 100, let's say 500 people. We got there's 10,000 people will use that one. What in the world are we going to do? I see and need all these people's. There's no way. Whose responsibility is it? What are we going to do about the widows? What are we going to do about helping other people as well that aren't widows? It's the whole church. This person needs help here. This person needs a hand over here. Whose job is it? No. Roles, and it was just good growing so fast. What are you going to do with all that? So we have that, the expectations where everybody has their own. Seriously, if I were to go down and pull even the people, all of these folks I love through here, I guarantee you I'd still get different answers of expectations about what I expect, and then they fill in the blank. So I think there was that. There was just a lack of clarity. Some training needed to take place. But I think there's probably just some ignorance, too, as to what their particular role was. What am I to do? And we're talking about the big idea today, and I know I've meshed this really quick, so you probably missed it, is working together works. Working together works. Working together is what works under the mission of God. It's not God called 3 people out of 300 to do all the work. It's all of them working together as God gives them the opportunity. And so here we have the clarity was certainly an issue here. Now, there's ways that we could have conflicts in the church as well, or in life. And I just real quick want to run through these conflicts that come up in working together. One of the ways that it rears its ugly head is that there's conflicts with God. Now, here I'm talking about a relationship with God. If you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with God, what do I mean by that? That means that by faith you have trusted Jesus Christ, God's Son, as the one and only Savior, and you're believing in Him and Him alone for your salvation. You, if you haven't done that, you're not even in the family. So that right there can create instant conflict. I'm not saying that's your intention, and you might be here saying, you know, I love the church, I love things about the church, but you don't know Jesus Christ? There's a conflict. Why? Because you have a conflict with the Father. The enemy with God relationship stance. You know, we read earlier, this verse is similar. You were once alienated from God and were enemies. So there's conflict there. If you ever wonder, why am I in such conflict all the time with the church, all the time with Christians? And I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but I would question, are you a Christian? Could be a reason why. You're just not part of the family. So that's one. Another conflict is fellowship. James has got some really good advice here, doesn't he? He talks about adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the guy's enmity, friendship with the world is enmity with God? So the Bible, when it explains not following and obeying and making Christ the priority, they use the word, not me, they use the word adultery. It's all through the Old Testament as well. Talks about Israel being a whore. I hate to use that word, but that's how he explains Israel on how they come to him. They're giving themselves to other things. You made a covenant with Jesus Christ. Is he your one and first and most love? Is he the priority of your life? Anything else, you're becoming a friend of the world. So there's a relationship issue, and it's with God. But there's also conflict that we can have with one another. We struggle with those kind of conflicts. Unresolved issues, legitimate things that happen in church by people who are Christians that should know better. People with their mouths, their words, their actions. And we got conflicts with each other. And again, put it inside the mission of God. How is this supposed to minister to our community, to our families, when we have conflicts going on? It doesn't work. It's, at worst, it's a terrible message to the world. What's your testimony with your kids and grandkids, with your brothers and sisters? What's your testimony at school? What's your testimony at work? Or with what other organizations you might be connected with? We can't have that kind of conflict because we're at each other's throat all the time. So we want to be careful about that. Matthew even talks about that, doesn't it? Don't come worship here if you've got a problem with your brother. Uh-uh. It's not happening. Now, you can certainly attend. Go and make it right with them. Then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5, you can read it yourself. So what's the solution? 3-6, I love it. Let's go quickly. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, apostolate of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And we're going to get into that in detail in another sermon, but there's a couple things I just want to catch that they got. The first thing they did, this is so important. If you got a conflict, this works, by the way, in other conflicts. they addressed the situation right away. I know way too many people that have conflicts with their spouse, with their kids, with their friends, with maybe someone in the church, and they don't deal with it. They don't deal with it. Now, I understand. There's always wisdom involved. You have to ask yourself, is this my only issue? Is this my problem? Maybe I've got a problem. I just need to pray about it. I get that. That's good. But if the conflict continues and it is a real conflict that needs to be solved, you should do it immediately. That's the wisdom of this right here. How do we work together? How does working together happen? You got to resolve these conflicts. You got to do them immediately. As soon as possible. Deal with it before it gets on. By the way, in my life, administration. I don't know if that's happened in your experience, but if I ignored something in school that I needed to deal with probably that day, and I said, I'll deal with it next Monday, by the time I got the next Monday, it was a whole lot bigger than it needed to be. That's just something you need to understand and realize, don't put it off. Well, you know, I'm just going to pray about it for a month. I think that's about 28 days too long. Pray about it, yes. Maybe step back, but you need to deal with it. So they did. I love that. They went right away. And the conflict was discussed collectively. I mean, the apostles led the way. There's something there. We're going to get into that another time. They did. They offered some things. But what I loved about it is that the group was involved in the whole thing. This is what you got to do. And if you read, we just got an issue. We got to resolve it. This group of people here, you know, they're from this part of the world. We need some folks to help them. So what did they do? They said, let's find some folks here that can help make that happen. They know them well, and they're able to interact and connect. And that's important. And they get everybody, and they go, man, that just makes sense. Yeah. And so they did it together. Working together works. Hey, we got problems. We have conflicts in the church. Amen. Amen. We do from time to time. But can we resolve? Yes, I ever heard. The answer is, of course, yes. Yes, it's possible. But they also were resolved unanimously. Where was you next? I know we're Americans. We all get our opinion. And actually, I don't mind that you have the ability, the freedom to do that. That's good. Glad. Express it. But there comes a point where if God is moved on the body, clear by many that this is something that should be done, then we need to get on board together. Okay. I may not do it that way, but you know what? I see God spoken in here, and let's come together. Now, I'm not even advocating this at all, but I'm going to share something with you that's going to blow your mind maybe. Maybe some of you might get upset. Oh, well, whatever. I was in a Baptist church in the South, and they had a practice. This is their practice. The first time I experienced, I got to tell you, I was like, wow, what did I just experience? That's weird. So what was it? So they had their meeting. They had their vote. They said, everybody, please vote according to what you feel. So they did. And whatever it was, it didn't matter. But, you know, they had their percentages just like we do. And that's good. They didn't want to just have 51-50 kind of a thing. They had it so it was a little bit larger than that. So they had a large percent, and it was kind of overwhelming most of the time. But there was always a group there that God had moved for them to think a different way. I've been on both sides of those things, okay, so I'm not throwing stones. But this was the unique thing. They had the vote, they got done. Okay, we're done. Now we're going to have a second vote. Why? Give a chance for the whole church to say, yes, we're going to do this together. That was their practice. First time I went through that, I went, you want me to change my vote? The vote was already over. It was really a vote for unanimity. Did I say that correctly? I think so. I thought, wow, that's pretty unique. It took me a while to think through that because I wasn't growing up. I didn't grow up that way, like many of you, I bet. This was the practice here. The conflict was dealt with right away. It was dealt with the group. And at the end of the day, maybe there was 100 that said yes and 25 that said no. But at the end of the day, they finally said, hey, we like it. Let's do it. We're going to jump on board. May not be my cup of tea, but I'm going to give it all I can. And so that's what they did. And what was the results then? I love this. And the word of God continued to increase. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Woo! Praise God! It's true. But I'm glad to join hands and say, let's work together. I mean, if something's bad, don't give in. If someone stands up and says, you know what, I think we ought to just say that, you know, there's five ways to get to heaven. We got a problem, and there is no changing of any vote. Amen? That's right. That's right. There's things that are worth putting your foot down for. That makes perfect sense. So this is the result, was increased blessing in the church. We look at the church sometimes, we say, man, Lord, we'd love to see continue and exponential growth, and the first step for that is to deal with any conflicts that we have with God and one another. And the blessings come. All right, real quick. All conflict is not sin, by the way, but all conflict is opportunity. People are going to have differences of opinion that aren't based on theology. We're not talking about doctrine. They're just going to have different ideas on how to do things. That's not necessarily a sin at all. It's just a good way to grow together. It's an opportunity to work together and work through problems. But unresolved conflicts that create problems really will impact our ministry to be effective. And I'm so tired, I'm so sick of it, and I know many of you are, that people just get mad and they go. Why? I've kept record over the years. I have. Because I'll ask people, what was the reason? I could say, I've got evidence, over 90% of the reasons had nothing to do with doctrine. Somebody got mad about something, and they left. Because it didn't happen their way. That's not to be. I said this in my first sermon here, and I'm going to repeat it. Those who row together won't sink. This came from my experience in the White River rafting, where God said, there's going to be times when you're going to be literally launched in the air, and the only way you're going to keep from this boat flipping is for you to act like you're in the water and keep rowing and keep rowing together, leaning forward in air. It'll balance the boat. He says, now you can ignore me. I know how to survive the river. I don't know if many of you will. That's good motivation. There's a picture of me, I think. I might have it. I don't know if it's in my office or not. I'll have to show it to you sometime. Of us paddling. And one of the pictures, I think, there's no water there. It's... Why did it work? Because we rowed together. We got a great mission, but we got to row together. And we all been given creative ideas and different ideas, and those are good. Bring to the table and discuss it. But at the end of the day, the body of Christ comes together. We work it. We work out our conflicts. We say, you know what? Let's, for the sake of the gospel, together we serve. Exciting days ahead. But we don't have to wait to heaven to work together. Why? Because the Christ that's sitting on the right hand of the Father is offering himself to you even right now. If you haven't trusted in him, he could come in and unify you with the body of Christ. And body of Christ, if you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we are united in Christ. Are we living that way? Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for your patience and time. There are so many things that happen in our daily lives that are conflicts, and that's just part of solving conflicts. It's kind of fun sometimes, but we can't let them get in the way of ministry. And if we work together, not as isolated Christians, but under one force, under the banner of Christ and the cross. Now I'm asking you today, are you now working together with God? Is your walk with Him such a way that there is nothing between you and your Savior? If not, deal with that right now, you can. Are you working together with others? God forbid that we should run and ignore and run down the hall to avoid. Let us come together and work together under this mission, because working together works well. Father, thank you that you look beyond, and you still do many times, our actions. And your grace and your Holy Spirit come into our heart and draw us to yourself. You confront us with love. We have many, many conversations with you, and you bring us back to yourself, because together is better. I look at my brothers and sisters in here, all the gifts, and we have so much more to talk about that we can in the weeks ahead if you tarry. So many gifts that can be exercised, so many gifts that are being exercised, but is there a better way we can come together to reach this city for the Lord Jesus Christ? Help us to do so. So I pray now for my brothers and sisters that they will find peace and conflicts as best as depends on them will be resolved. In Jesus' name, amen.